So this year, it was the stocking stuffers that got my attention. I saw it in some of my searches on the internet. The top five simple stocking stuffers for 2018. Okay, I thought, this is what I'm looking for, something easy, something quick, and something under $20. You see, it's about this time of December that I start to weaken. We always say as a family at Thanksgiving, we'll just keep it simple this Christmas. Just one gift that we really, really want. That's all. That's enough. And we all agree to it, but by the third week of Advent, I'm beginning to think, one gift, is that enough? What are we going to do all day? How hurt are people going to be? How are they going to feel abandoned? It all depends on me, doesn't it? And it might be just fun to have a little more to open up. And then I'm off to the races. Now, what would my loved ones do without these stocking stuffers? Here are the top 10, the top five. Number one, cordless electric wine bottle opener with foil cutter. Yes. Number two, leak-free sphere ice molds with tight silicone seal. Number three, a kitchen two-stage knife sharpener. Number four, humidity monitor with an indoor thermostat. Number five, stainless steel odor absorber. And let me also mention that in the top 10, there's a can opener with a lid lifter, an aluminum 5-oil sprayer, and number 10, thanks be to God it got on the list, a strawberry huller. Yes, 3 weeks of Advent and I'm ready to finish up. Just get it done. Oh yes, I've done this before, this Christmas thing. I get rather impatient. We're running out of time. I want to be done, finished. Get everything completed. And my greatest temptation is for that easy gift. No pain, no work, and little connection. The transaction without the effort of giving and receiving, the exchange without the communication, the communal bond, and the reason for the season. I think I must need another dose of John the Baptist. How about you? Well, why? Good old John just is not a quick fix guy. Think of what it takes to even get to John in the wilderness. He is way out there. There's no GPS to find him. He's somewhere near the Jordan River, are the only directions that you receive. And then once you get there, he isn't exactly putting out the welcome mat. He doesn't even seem happy to see you. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Well, good morning to you. John is not trying to make it easy on me. No way. He wants me to take this long, arduous journey and even get lost at times, so that I'm ready to hear the challenge and the questions that he's asking of me, because he's full of tough questions. And he doesn't let me lean back on my credentials. John asks a lot of me, to be a person who is true, a person who loves my neighbor. John wants me to be a person whose life shows what really matters to God. Yet he also sees me for who I am right now, willing to live on the surface of things, to skim by and give up easily. I don't really want to hear this right now. Well, there are lights out there to see, and stockings to stuff, and Bronco games to watch, and good food to eat. And yet this odd and annoying guy, eating his locusts and refusing to conform, this weird character is a messenger of hope. Real hope. Not the quick fix. He's the messenger of joy, true joy, not a fleeting happiness. He's the messenger of peace, actual peace, not just a moment of calm. For you see, John believes in the true transformation of the human heart. He believes in that. He's convinced that you and I can repent. That is, go in a different direction. He's convinced that we can bear fruit, live in a way that makes a difference to this world. He is hopeful. But he's not making it easy. He's not asking me to change my shampoo brand or buy a different cereal. No, he's asking me to bear fruits worthy of repentance, or as the translation from The Message puts it, it's your life that must change, not your skin. Does he know what he's asking for? To change a life that's pretty good already, if I must say, when I'm satisfied with good enough, John asks for more. You see, John sees the whole picture, and he loves the whole of it, not just the part I see or want to see. For when John gazes at me, he also gazes at the refugee and the homeless person and the person who doesn't quite have enough to have a nutritious meal this night. He sees the one with no place at the table, the one seeking home. He sees it all. As we stand together in this crowd before him. And it is love that makes John so demanding, a love that is wide and long and high and low, a love that expands my universe. Now, he is a hopeful in a way that is practical. Very down to earth, not pie in the sky. Show me your life, he says. Just do it. He does not ask for heroics. He's asked me to start with the world I know, to take what I know, to do what I do already, to share it, to find what is good and do it with hope, to be fair. He talks about faithfulness as sharing what we have, doing our work without cheating others, using our influence justly, being messengers for the future. He's asking me to be real, have true relationships, and work on repairing those things that are broken with people around me. John is challenging me to seek God, who is the true meaning and purpose, to live in the now with confidence that the future belongs to a God of hope. And he asks that we act in hope. You know, we can do the right thing and still be despairing and defensive and dismissive. This is acting without hope. We can do the right thing and truly believe that it all depends on us. This is acting without hope. This is not having the hope of transformation that John the Baptist does. He has hope for transformation not because he places his hope in us, we humans. He calls us brood of vipers, remember? John has hope for transformation because he trusts in the promise of God, the steadfast mercy of a love that will not let us go. A God who keeps coming in all kinds of ways, even surprising ones. And when I hear what John is saying, to do what you know, what you can, and trust in the power of God who is coming in the now and in the future, trust in this one who knows us. Trust in this one who loves us still. Trust in this one who is ever creative, who generates new beginnings in people, in places like this. Trust that as we seek God, God is seeking us, coming to us, bringing the very gifts we need. Who would have thought that the gift we needed was a fragile child humble in a manger, a broken man hanging on a cross? To trust that we are enough, and it is this gift of God that satisfies. To hope in God's coming, to wait for love coming in a gentleness that takes us into surprising joy. John calls me to more than a stocking stuffer Christmas that I can be done with. Christmas isn't finished with me yet, nor is it finished with you. Amen for now. Amen.